Hey, it's Chuck Armstrong with Loudwire Nights, and this is Loudwire Nights On Demand. It's always a good time when Billy Howardell is on the show, especially when we're talking about brand new music from A Perfect Circle. This interview aired on Wednesday, June 17th. Let's go. Well, it's been a minute since we've hung out with tonight's special guest, but man, what a great time to catch up as we celebrate the latest song from A Perfect Circle, Starless. Billy Howardell, man, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, great to be here. Thanks for having me.
So this is the first song from A Perfect Circle that you've released since 2024's Kindred. And before that, the last music we had from the band was from the album Eat the Elephant, which came out in 2018. How's it feel? How's it feel to have Starless out?
It's great. It came, you know, the day we flew to London to start the tour, that's when the song came out. So I underestimated what that meant. I mean, I know what it means, but I underestimated getting artwork, the Atmos mix done, everything else compiled and ready to release on the day I was leaving for a European tour, and what goes into traveling personally and then, you know, getting gear out the door and all that. Yeah. So it was a lot. But so it came with a bang, and then we got into rehearsals and been hearing reports, and, you know, almost from afar from management, and just been concentrating on playing in the live show and, you know, getting everything tightened up. So we're six shows in and we're kind of well-oiled at this point. So it's feeling good.
How has that been playing Starless?
Great. Yeah, that's actually maybe one of the easiest songs, one of the easiest new songs to get in and feel comfortable with. You know, I think we ran it, you know, six or eight times in rehearsal and felt like, okay, we kind of got this one, you know. So some songs are a little bit more challenging to pull off live. That song's dynamic, but it doesn't have any, you know, it's just guitar, bass, and drums. So it's there's not a lot of other things to tether to, any special tracks or anything like that. So yeah, it's good. It's feeling solid.
Right on, man. Well, you know, when you guys put out Kindred, that was part of the joint EP for the Sasanta tour with Pussifer and Primus. And, you know, that song was you handling guitars, bass, keys, production. Josh Freese was on drums and Maynard was doing what Maynard does. Was that the same trio for Starless?
Yeah. Yes. You know, Josh and I holding down the music and bringing his magic.
So what's that writing process like for you guys? So like with a song like Starless, is it something that more or less you and Josh kind of chip away, do your thing, and Maynard's doing his thing and you come together?
Starless, I mean, I started that song on watching TV with a little practice amp sitting on my coffee table when me and the family were watching something. I mean, it's like when someone said, hold on, pause, I'm going to the bathroom, and then threw something down. I do kind of remember it going that way, that riff. And I have to say, it's a cool way to be able to write, to not have to, you know, turn on your big rig and your amps and get inspired by that. Just have some decent sounding little practice amp that, you know, is good enough to, I you know, record the first pass on my phone and then hit play on the phone. And then I had an Apple Watch and I just like hit record on that and overdub, tracked it. And then go back to ingest it in the studio later. And it's like, oh, there's something here. And then just kind of use that as the basis for it. And throw some drum ideas down and, you know, compile it into a song that I think is going to be enough for Maynard to chew on. And then I'll send him a decent sounding rough. Sometimes it's unrealized. Sometimes it's halfway realized. And then he'll chew on it and say, I can hear I'm going to go somewhere this or pass, you know, so kind of just waiting for him to get, you know, engaged with it. And then once I get his first take on something, I'll, you know, even if it's just a very simple rhythmic or, you know, syllable sketch, I'll kind of try and flush things out, get it a little more tightened up. So I'm kind of knowing where it's going. So, and then I'll get Josh involved to put that final spark on.
Right on, man. So what ran through your head? What did you think the first time you heard some of the lyrics?
Like, here we are. We're back at it, and it feels familiar and it feels great. Yeah. And, you know, I don't take it for granted at all in the way I know I don't, because every time I hear something from Maynard, I just am surprised at his output. You know, having three bands and having as many years as he's been doing this, you know, he wears a lot of hats. He wears a lot of creative hats, and I think oscillates between them quicker than ever now. which is interesting. You know, his bands have found their lane and he can operate within it, I guess. I mean, you can ask him, but it's just from afar or working with him, I'm always impressed with what he is delivering. Even if it could, you know, I don't find it interchangeable. You know, I felt like this is really him with us. Yeah. So it's nice.
Yeah. I have to imagine, man, like for you as a, you know, as a creator, as a musician, as an artist, like, yeah, that feeling of focus, you know, for Maynard, for Josh, I mean, for everybody, you know, like, all right, whatever we got going on elsewhere, at least right now, it's a perfect circle. I have to imagine that's critical, and also why a perfect circle is still here and why we're talking about new music. You know, for me, the first time I heard it, I don't know why, it kind of took me back to my first time listening to Merida Gnome. And not that it sounded like that necessarily, but there's just something about it that connected me with first falling in love with the band and the music. That was 26 years ago when that album came out, which is crazy.
It's crazy.
But, you know, for whatever reason, you know, like for me, hearing Starless kind of connected me back to that moment. I'm curious, when you make music or when you're sitting on the couch and this riff idea, you know, pops in your head, do you ever feel things like that that connect you to your past work, or is it sort of a in the moment, this is just where I'm at right now?
I mean, with something like that, no, the beauty of writing a riff when you're in the middle of watching a TV show or a movie is like you're not overthinking anything. You're just trying to get something down on the sketch pad before that person comes back from the bathroom or going in to get popcorn in the kitchen, you know, like it's, there's no time to overthink that. There's other times once I have something that might be in the spirit of something from the past that I feel a tug that, you know, sometimes I'll bite or I won't, you know, like it kind of just depends. I'm not trying to be mysterious, but there is no real formula for me in that kind of way. And I do, I mean, the only formula I could say is I try to not let myself be afraid to write from absurdity sometimes, like write something that, okay, this is never going to make it, you know, but like, it's different. And then I think we all have a filter. I certainly have a filter of all the influences I've had growing up. So whatever that absurd riff was, will probably go through my ultimate, you know, sniff test filter. And then it's going to get that aesthetic put onto it. So, you know, that's where the continuity would come from. But, you know, I don't have like this set tried and true formula. Yeah,
I love that, man. Don't be afraid to write from absurdity. That's good. Do you do that a lot? Kind of come up with a riff that you're like, this is never going to make it, but then you keep working on it. And does that happen a lot?
I mean, I've got a lot of things like that. Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
And, but you know, putting them into a bank account, so to speak, I've got a folder of all these songs, straight from the first album till now. They all live in the same folder. There's hundreds of them. And I started getting in the mode of color coding them, of like, you know, what I think is worth looking at or something that, you know, and I've got my absurd color, you know, one too.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, it's kind of those things of like, it'd be interesting to pair these two weird things together, or one weird thing and one more solid idea, and that's going to take me in a direction. It's almost as if you're writing with somebody else, you know, like you're, because that's the thing. If you're kind of writing in isolation, it's hard to surprise yourself, but it's not as hard if you can look back at absurd ideas from a year or five ago and then you go, oh, what the hell was I thinking there? But that's, that would be an interesting turn with a little bit of massaging.
Yeah, right on, man. So Starless, you know, this was released as a song, you know, as a standalone song, but, everyone, all the fans, everybody's, you know, curious, is this pointing toward more new music, maybe an album from A Perfect Circle? Are you able to talk about that?
It's pointing towards new music.
All right.
Yeah.
Good, man. Yep. So as you think about more new music, you know, you're also in Europe right now. You got a ton of shows on the calendar all over the world. As of right now, I think the only show in the U.S. is Not a Bad Place to Play in December, Honolulu. I have to imagine with more new music on the horizon, also maybe a broader tour in the States taking shape for next year or beyond.
Yeah, I've heard rumors of that.
It's probably safe to assume,
as a possibility.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm a good detective. It's pretty tough to think about that.
Yeah. I've heard something about that, maybe.
All right. Well, I got to ask you, man. So we had a friend of yours, Greg Edwards on the show, celebrating the new Failure album. And we got into cover songs. And, you know, I had to ask him what he thought about A Perfect Circle covering The Nurse Who Loved Me. And, you know, it was great to hear him talk about that. But I'm curious, you know, since we're talking and since this was recent, it's just in my head. What led you guys to wanting to cover that particular song from that band?
That was a Maynard steering the ship towards that, which was cool. And it was out of nowhere. And there's very few songs that I have really didn't put my hands on all that much. And that's one of them. That's one of the songs that Maynard and Danny Lohner really took the reins and did some interesting, you know, aesthetics onto. I think John Bryan was involved with that. And then Danny went over to his studio to work on just getting some interesting soundscapes and things. So then it's our job to go, okay, now how are we going to do this live? And it was quite a bit different. You know, we were with that song and then what was right after it, which was the Emotive album, like the covers album. We kind of pushed the limits in the studio a bit, not the full limit, but just more than like, let's say something like Starless. That's two guitars, bass and drums. I know how that's going to go down live. I'm not writing a bunch of stuff that needs to be on tape. With those cover songs, it was like it was a challenge. There was a fun little puzzle to put together, and Nurse Who Loved Me was like a song like that. We had to figure out how was this going to live live. So.
Right on. I love that, man. Well, we had another friend of yours on the show recently, Greg Pachado, talking about, you know, his band and working with Danny Lohner, and he was, you know, very very happy to say that you were a big part of connecting him with Danny Lohner and all of that. And I just love, you know, by happenstance having these guests on the show and, you know, realizing like, oh, you guys are friends and, you know, you have this community and you stay in touch. And even beyond that, though, like you help each other out, like you make this connection or whatever that looks like. I got to imagine over the years doing this for so long, like that kind of keeps you grounded as you travel the world, as you work on new music, like to have, you know, just friends who are going through the same thing, who kind of understand exactly what you're doing.
Yeah, I would say almost keeps you engaged and keeps you on your toes too. Mm-hmm. I mean, Greg's a pretty good friend of mine, and he's just got energy, and we're very different people, but I feel like we have a great level of respect for each other, and it's a nice kind of, you know, combo to have, because ultimately we started working on new music together and didn't do much with it. And we say the same thing every time, like, we got to finish that track. I don't even remember the name of the working title at this point, but we've almost toured together too, like both our solo projects. We were considering going on tour together, and maybe something even in the way of when he plays his set, I'll play guitar and sing backup, and when I play my set, he'll play guitar and sing backup. I think that could be a cool pairing because we just have similar interests and, you know, get along, and it could be an interesting move for the future.
Right on, man. I love hearing that. So, I mean, speaking of, you know, your solo music, what are you working on? Is that, I mean, it's been a few years since you released What Normal Was. Are you actively working on more new Billy Howardell music?
Yeah, that was 4 years ago yesterday. Remembered. It's crazy.
Time always wins, man. It's crazy.
Not right now. Not at the moment. I'm not working on solo stuff right now. I had, even in the beginning of the year, I've got a good folder of next solo album stuff underway. And, but I've got a pin put in that as a focus on APC.
Yep. Makes sense, man. Well, last question, you know, talking about that album being released 4 years ago, I mean, you and Maynard started A Perfect Circle in 99. Merit Unknown came out a year later. What runs through your head when you think about this band still being here, man, still releasing new music, still touring the world 26, 27 years later?
You know, I've got kids and they're interested in music and great musicians themselves. And like in talking as that person, it's funny because I do feel extremely fortunate that it was, again, right place, right time. The kind of music, the break Maynard had, his, you know, history with Tool. The we had the right team together with the record company and with everything. Everything fell into place. So it's hard. It's really hard to do it. There's a lot of people trying to make music, and there's, you know, trying to be at the right place at the right time. And I never know exactly what advice to give to somebody, except for if you love it and you can hang with not wanting overnight success, then give it your all, you know. Yeah. But there's some people with a different mentality, which is just I'm going to conquer the world kind of mentality, which I just didn't have that. So it's just a different thing. I really loved the game, so I just kind of stayed in the game, whether I was working behind the scenes or making music.
Yeah, no, I love it, man. And here we are, yeah, talking about new music and, you know, more new music to come and plenty of live shows. Billy Howard, oh man, thank you so much for hanging tonight. Listeners, yeah, get everything you need for Perfect Circle at aperfectcircle.com. We'll always keep you posted at Loudwire too. And of course, man, we're playing Starless a lot here on the awesome radio. And so, yeah, man, it's great catching up. Always great catching up. Hopefully we can do this again soon.
Thank you for that. All right. Good to see you. Thanks. Bye.
That wraps up this episode of Loudwire Nights on Demand. Stay caught up with everything happening in the world of rock and metal on the Loudwire app and at loudwire.com.